next week.
Getting that heat wave, you know. Do you folks mind the heat?
I thought
you like it.
That's
why you were down south. You.
That was cold.
I love it. Oh, praise the Lord.
We don't have no air conditioning.
No?
No, we have a fan.
And you sleep fine?
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Wow.
We have a lot of windows.
Oh, yeah.
The breeze comes in all
Yeah, fan. You got fans.
Just one fan
just,
to use.
Wow.
We have two fans, but we just use
You
one.
Guys are tough. Well, you're both from the old school.
Well, we came from where it was 90 all the time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Or more.
But it wasn't really humid.
Yeah. The other thing is, when you guys were coming up, there was no such thing as an air conditioner.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Back in the old days. We're spoiled. We're spoiled today. I tell you. All right, folks, let's stand for our final hymn prior to the message this morning. Hymn 84. What a great, great hymn. Really says it all concerning the child of God who's been saved. William Featherstone wrote, My Jesus, I love thee. First, second, and fourth we'll sing. Love that piano. Good playing system.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior,
praise God. Church, please be seated at this time. Wonderful singing this morning. And I just love that fourth stanza. In mansions of glory, I'll ever adore thee. Oh, boy. Imagine what it's going to be like when we finally make it up yonder. I have not seen, neither entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. If you love him this morning, your future is glorious. Glorious, I guarantee it, because the Bible says so.
Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's open up this morning our Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And as some of you know, the theme of the book of Philippians is joy. Rejoicing. And the joy of the Lord is the theme of the book of Philippians. Isn't that something? Paul, of course, was incarcerated when writing the book of Philippians. And his theme was joy, the joy of the Lord. So you can be in a dark dungeon and still have the joy of the Lord. Your circumstances cannot dictate your joy or your feeling. Amen? That's something that only God can do. Now, folks, let me ask a question, and don't answer. Don't raise your hand or answer out loud. Are you content this morning? I mean, are you happy? Are you satisfied in your life with the position and possessions that God has bestowed? Because I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that most people are not content with what they've got. They're always wanting something bigger, better, and more expensive, you know? Why? Discontent. Discontentment. And folks, it is real important for us to learn the lesson of contentment. I want to speak to you this morning on Christian contentment. Christian contentment. Look with me here in Philippians chapter 4. Paul learned to be content. What a great teacher he is too concerning this topic. But look with me in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse number 10. Paul writes, but I what?
Rejoiced.
The theme of the book is joy. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I want to speak to you on Christian contentment from verse number 11. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning that as God's believing people in the world today, oh Lord, we are the true ones that are able to be content in our daily lives because of verse 13. Through Christ Jesus, we can do all things. Amen. Lord, the lost world out there, they're discontent, they're dissatisfied, they're unhappy, and they're always wanting more and more and more because they don't have Jesus Christ. But Lord, I'm so thankful that on October 3rd in 1986, some 30 years ago, I found contentment in my life through the Lord Jesus Christ. I found what I had been searching for all my life long, and that was the Son of God, though I didn't know it. I'm so glad, Lord, that you reached down your holy hand from heaven. You snatched me out of the clutch of the devil, saved my hell-bound soul, washed me in the blood, and gave me your Holy Spirit. I found contentment for the first time in my life. Oh, what a blessing it is to know the contentment, the joy, the satisfaction of Jesus Christ being in your life. We thank you for that this morning. And oh God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would instruct us through this message today, that we would learn Christian contentment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved, here in the fourth of Philippians, we have the great declaration of the Apostle Paul that in Jesus Christ, he had found a peace and contentment that nothing could take away. And indeed, this is a lesson which only few believers seem to have learned, but one which is of great importance to the happiness of the soul. It will do us well, beloved, to aspire after his example for our own good. Let us look this morning and see this great sight and learn just how Paul achieved this Christian contentment. I want to give you four things. I'll let you know where we're going. We're going to see the lesson learned. Then we'll notice the teacher provided. We'll see the example given. And finally, the nature of it described. But first of all, beloved, this morning, I want us to notice the lesson learned. Look with me here in verse number 11. Paul writes in verse number 11, Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have what?
Learned.
I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul learned the lesson. Folks, here is a lesson that every single true believer must come to learn, must come to experience in their own Christian walk. Your mama can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. You, personally, with Jesus Christ, must learn Christian contentment. Paul says it right here. I have learned therewith to be content. Now, listen, Christian contentment was not natural to Paul. It was something he had to learn. He was a Pharisee. But where did he learn it? Paul did not learn Christian contentment as a Pharisee, but in the school of Christ, at the foot of the cross, he found contentment. The law of Moses couldn't give him contentment. The law can't give you contentment. It takes grace. Grace, amen? Beloved, thousands have learned this great lesson since Paul's time. And you and I are no different than Paul. We must learn how to be content in any circumstance. Okay? Here's what the devil wants to do. He wants to bring circumstances into your life that God will allow in order to rob you of your contentment and joy and peace. That's what, and he's a specialist at it. He's been doing it for thousands of years. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hold your place in Philippians. We're coming right back. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at this verse. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we, who's the we of verse 7? Christians, right? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul says we're going through all kinds of persecution. Yet, he says, we're not losing our contentment because it's not of this world. It's of another world, a heavenly one. And it's from the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 10. See that in verse 10? Look in chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. Paul learned contentment amongst greatly adverse conditions. Look at it. Chapter 6, verse 4. He says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Verse 10, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Paul says in verse 10, yes, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Why? Because Paul learned the lesson. Paul learned the lesson of Christian contentment. You see that? Now, through all these trials that Paul endured, he never lost his contentment. Because why? Because Jesus Christ went through those trials with him. Here is the key, beloved, to learning this great lesson. Jesus is with you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that we may boldly say, the Lord is mine helper, and I will not fear what man shall do. I will not lose my contentment, because he is with me. Glory to God. One time, a lovely little girl was brought to the great artist, Blake. Blake was one of the famous artists of old. As most great artists, Blake was very poor in his lifetime, but he loved the Savior supremely. He was a believer. So sitting in his old worn-out clothes amidst his poverty, Blake looked at the little girl and for a long while said nothing. Then gently stroking her beautiful curls, he said, "My dear child, may God make this world to you as beautiful as it has been to me." You know what Blake had learned? Christian contentment. Christian contentment. He wanted to pass that on to that little girl. And he said, "You love Jesus, and this world, it'll be beautiful for you. You just put Jesus first." Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, just before James, the book of Hebrews chapter 13, look at this. Verse number 5. Verse number 5. Let your conversation, now that's not what you speak, not conversation like today, the word, the old English word conversation meant your lifestyle, your manner of living. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be what? Be what?
Content.
With such things as you have. Why, Paul? For he had said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Beloved, learn this lesson. Jesus Christ said, "You can be content because of me." Oh, wow. If Jesus Christ is changeable and mutable, then you could lose your contentment. But because he's unchangeable, immutable, you don't have to. He said, "I'm going to be with you to the end." And he loved them unto the end. Charles Simeon said, "The buzzing chorus of the bees amongst the flowers is expressive of a sublime contentment. The blackbird chirping away in the cherry tree declares his solitary joy. The wasp, half buried in the nectarine, has forgotten its fretfulness. But man, even at his best state, is consumed with regrets, repinings, and discontentment." Why? Because they don't have Christian contentment. That's why. That's because contentment is a lesson that must be learned. But secondly this morning, not only the great lesson learned, but from our text back in Philippians chapter 4, notice the teacher provided. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to notice the teacher provided. Verse number 12, we read, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed." What does a teacher do to the children? He or she instructs them, right? Watch this. "Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things," what's the next two words?
Through Christ,
which strengtheneth me. Now, Paul is saying in verse 11, "I've learned the lesson, I've been instructed." But verse 13 shows you the great teacher, through Christ. He's saying, "I can learn all things through Christ which teacheth me." Don't you know that Jesus is the greatest teacher you've ever known?
Amen.
And every single person who gets saved, he personally instructs. That's right. By his Spirit, who's in you, he instructs you through this book and the voice of his Spirit. Now, here is the only way that anyone can learn how to be content in this life. It's by listening to Jesus, the great teacher. Amen. He's the great physician, yeah. He's the great I am, yeah. But he's also the great teacher. Now, I see three ways that the Lord teaches us. First, he does it by setting man right within himself. He sets you right first within. Amen. Now, listen. We think our discontents are due to circumstances. No. Actually, they originate from within. In salvation, Jesus procures to our soul purity, harmony, energy, spirituality. It's not a matter of circumstances. Amen? It's a matter of Jesus Christ giving us a new heart. Look in Luke chapter 8. Hold your place in Philippians. Luke chapter 8. I want to show you a man and how Jesus taught him contentment. Watch. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 33. This is the maniac of Gadara. He was demon-possessed. Guess what? Jesus comes along and casts all the demons out of the man. Watch what it says. Then, verse 33. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And you see, yeah, some swine are more intelligent than some people. They'd rather kill themselves than live with demons, right? Listen, verse 34. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done. The whole town comes out. And he came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Notice in verse 35, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. What is Jesus doing to him right there? He's instructing him. And you know what the man found for the first time in his life? Christian contentment. Christian contentment. The devil was gone out of his life. And now he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, content. Do you know, church, that you can sit at the feet of Jesus content? No matter if it's 3 a.m. in the morning, you can't sleep. No matter if it's 2 p.m. in the afternoon and you're praying and you're in your prayer closet, you can be content sitting at the feet of Jesus. I see, first of all, Jesus would set him right within. But secondly, how does Jesus teach us contentment? He does it, secondly, by making clear to us the true purpose of our life. Hear what I said? You cannot be content until you come to the point where you discover the true purpose of your life. You are not an accident. You were made by God on purpose for a specific reason, a specific purpose. Now listen, Jesus opens to us the boundless regions of eternity in which we find true joy and endless delight. He teaches man to seek his instinct for greatness, his dreams of glory, his aspirations for knowledge. He teaches him to expect his full satisfaction in the fruition of all his hopes one day in glory above. In Luke chapter 12, don't turn there. Verse 15 says, Jesus said, "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." He's saying the things you possess cannot give you contentment. Why do they always need a bigger car? Why do they always need a bigger boat? Why do they always need a fancier house? Because they're not content. Your life is not about possessions. Your life is about glorifying Jesus Christ. It's the second way that he teaches. But thirdly, how does he teach, the great teacher? He does it by teaching us that all of the events of this present life equally contribute to our personal everlasting perfection. Did you hear what I said? That's a mouthful. But Jesus teaches us contentment by making us realize that all of the events of our life are working together for our ultimate good. Listen, once we come to Jesus, he orchestrates all things and designs them for our betterment. Because he does not look at the temporal, but the eternal good of your soul. Hear what I said? I said, Jesus doesn't look at the temporal well-being of your soul. He looks at the eternal picture. And he knows what we need in order to reach that goal. Now, the eternal, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God." That means my Father's working on me. He's the potter. I'm the clay. And listen, knowing that will give you great contentment. You don't have to fret about that trial you're going through, realizing it's ultimately for your good. You'll be stronger as a result. So we've seen the great lesson learned. We've noticed the teacher, the great teacher provided. But thirdly, notice the great example given. Philippians chapter 4. I see a great example given. In Philippians chapter 4, look with me at verse 11. Verse 11. Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere And in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Paul says in verse 12 that in all things, he's been instructed to be content. In other words, he's giving you an example to follow. You know what Paul said in another place? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul said, as long as I'm following the Lord, you can follow me safely. He said, if I stop following the Lord, you keep following him. Amen? Follow me. Follow my example as I follow the Lord, is what he's saying. Now, Paul truly shines brightly in his example of Christian contentment under all conditions and circumstances. Did you know that the meaning and force of any messenger depends chiefly upon the character and integrity of the messenger's life? Hear what I said? I said the message of a messenger, the force of it will depend upon the integrity of that messenger's life. If that messenger, if he's just a bum, he doesn't know God, he cusses and swears, he kicks the dog and beats the wife, who's going to listen to him? He's a bad example. Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord. Now, listen carefully. If Paul had lived the high life and been in a state of affluence and ease and luxury, his words here would have no force at all. He's telling you to be content. If he wasn't content, how could that have any effect upon you? You see what he's doing here? He's setting himself forth as an example for you. He's saying, look at me, all of the sufferings that I'm enduring, yet I'm content. I'm content. If he was like the rich man in Luke 16, fared sumptuously every day, clothed in a purple robe and a Rolls Royce chariot, who was going to listen to him about contentment? See? You see? Paul said, I'm poor, but I'm content. Now, he was not rich, and his actual poverty and afflictions only added to his spiritual joy and love to Jesus Christ his Lord. Paul didn't love the Lord less because of his afflictions. He loved him more. He counted it an honor to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, folks. He's leaving us an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at this example of the Apostle Paul. Watch this. In 2 Corinthians 11, look with me at verse 21. This is powerful. 21, Paul says, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. He's saying they're false ministers. He says they're not real, they're not true. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in debts oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Paul is saying here, in all these conditions and circumstances and trials, I have learned to be content, and I want you to learn this Christian contentment like me. Oh, folks, what an example Paul is of Christian contentment. Realize, have you ever read the biography of the life of Paul? There's a number of them out there. They're all good. But if you read the history of the life of this man, and then read these verses on contentment, you'll realize the man is one of the greatest example, other than Jesus Christ himself, of Christian suffering with Christian contentment in all the Bible. Now, contentment, according to Noah Webster, the definition of contentment, a resting or satisfaction of mind without disquietment, having peace of mind, being easy in any situation. That's contentment. Being easy and at peace in any situation. Wow. You know what that tells me? That tells me that I'm unlike Paul quite often, because I lose my contentment sometimes. I lose my peace. I lose my joy sometimes. And I got to repent and say, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa. Don't let the flesh take over. Don't get in the flesh. Be content. Beveridge paper reports that 100 years ago, it was found that the average American had 70 wants. That's things they couldn't afford. Today, it estimated that his great-grandson has nearly 500 wants, things they can't afford. Why? Because they're not content. They're not satisfied with what they've got. In a cemetery in England, there stands a tombstone with this inscription, and I quote, "She died for want of things." Next to the tombstone stands another stone, which reads, "He died trying to give them to her." Folks, you know what the problem with that woman was? She wasn't content. She died for want of things. J. Paul Getty was once one of the richest men in the world. J. Paul Getty. He was once asked what single thing he would change if he had the power to do so. He replied, and I quote, "I would change philosophy. People should be more content. The old cliche about money can't buy happiness is certainly true. I'm rich, yet I'm still discontent, but I cannot explain why." J. Paul Getty, multi-billionaire, and he said, "I'm so discontent. I've got everything a man could ask for, yet I'm not happy. I'm not content." You know why? He didn't have Jesus Christ. You are so much more rich than J. Paul Getty ever was. It's because J. Paul Getty never met the great teacher and learned the great lesson from the great example. All right, beloved, now listen carefully. We've seen the great lesson learned. We've seen the great teacher provided. We've seen the great example given. But fourthly and finally this morning, I want you to see the great nature of this contentment described. What is the nature of it? Go back to our text in Philippians chapter 4 and notice the great nature of this contentment described. Verse number 11, Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Notice the wording in verse 11. Paul says the nature of this contentment has to do with whatsoever state or condition I may be in on any given day. It doesn't matter. He's saying it doesn't matter if I'm feeling well or if I'm feeling ill. It doesn't matter if the sun is shining or the storm's coming down. It doesn't matter if the sun comes up. It doesn't matter if I'm being attacked. It doesn't matter what I'm going through, because my contentment is not of this world. Amen? Now listen carefully. The nature of this Christian contentment is threefold. In closing, first, its nature is to be satisfied with our present station in life. Now, most people are never happy with their present lot in life, but always seeking higher positions, more salary, better conditions, greater recognition. But Christian contentment rests peacefully where God's will appoints it. Amen? Christian contentment is content and rests peacefully wherever God appoints it to be. Go with me to Luke chapter 3. I'll show you that real quick. Hold your place again and go to Luke chapter 3. Watch what the Savior says here. In Luke chapter 3, look with me at verse 14. Luke 3 verse 14. and the Jesus Christ is preaching. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, Jesus, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he, Jesus, said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." You see that? Be content with your wages. Who said that? Jesus Christ. Did you know that unions are anti-biblical? Unions are not biblical. These people that demand a union, and we demand our rights, and we want better conditions, and we want more pay, and we want more vacation, they're out of bounds scripturally.
Right.
Jesus taught just the opposite. He said, be content with what they give you. Don't demand more. You're the servant, they're the employer. Oh, folks, this new generation is scary. But the first thing concerning the nature of this contentment is that it is to be satisfied with our present station in life, whether it be the garbage collector or the president of the United States. Secondly, its nature is to be satisfied in all the various changes that may attend us in our station in life. It is self-delusional to imagine that we should be happier in another situation if we are discontent in that which we already occupy. You know what he's saying? We're saying that if a person thinks, oh, if I only had their position, then I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. Because if you got that position, you'd find more things to complain about. If you're not happy where you're at now, you wouldn't be happy that if you get the other guy's job. Now, it seems nothing is more common than for persons to imagine that if they only were in such and such a condition, that then they would become happy and content. This is all self-deception. Look at verse 11 again. Philippians 4, look at verse 11 again. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, I don't want somebody else's position. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He's saying, I'm content now in the state that I'm in that now. Why do I want someone else's position to try to be content? See, folks, there's a third way that this nature of this Christian contentment is made up of. And that is this. It is made up of resignation, humility, and thankfulness. Whoa, that's a forgotten message. Listen carefully. The true language of contentment is, Lord, thou shalt choose our inheritance for us. The Lord is my portion, therefore will I hope in him. Amen? Listen, the nature of this contentment is one of resignation, where you resign yourself into the hands of God. Humility and thankfulness for what God does bestow. Go with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I love these verses in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Watch what Paul again says concerning contentment. Verse number 3. He says, 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. That's the health, wealth, and prosperity preachers on TV. They want you to send them your $1,000 seed money. And let me make a statement. Any preacher that gets on TV and asks you to send him money, turn that channel off. That is not biblical. That is not biblical. Look at verse 6. But godliness with what? Contentment is great gain. Oh, do you want to gain something precious? Do you want to be rich toward God? Be godly. Godliness with contentment. What? Why? Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be what?
Content.
Content. He says, he didn't even mention a roof over your head. He said, if you got something to eat and a glass of water, be happy. Be content, because God's taking care of you. Now, beloved, listen carefully. The nature of Christian contentment is to be satisfied in whatsoever state God has you in. Upon the great statue of Joseph Brotherton, there is a bronze plate with this inscription, and I quote, "A man's riches consist not in the amount of his wealth, but in the fewness of his wants." Wow! "A man's riches consist not in the amount of his wealth, but in the fewness of his wants." Powerful statement engraven in bronze. Beloved, the truly rich man or woman is the one who possesses Christian contentment. Christian contentment. Let me give you this in closing, and I'll be done. There is a Japanese legend of a stone cutter named Hasnu. While carving a stone one day, Hasnu grew weary and discontent. He began to wish that he could have easier work and more money. So, seeing the king riding by on his kingly horse, he wished he could be the king. At once, his wish was granted. He became the king. But riding on the royal horse, Hasnu became weary from the sun beating down on his head. So he wished that he could become the sun. At once, his wish was granted. He became the sun. But after a while, a great cloud passed by and blocked out the sun. So he wished he could become the cloud. And he did. But after a while, the cloud burst and spread its rains all over the earth, sweeping away everything in its path except Hasnu's stone. So he wished he could become the stone. And his wish was granted. He became the stone. Suddenly, there came a man by with a hammer and a chisel who began to hack and cut the stone. And only then did Hasnu realize the power of a stone cutter. And only then did he become content with his lot in life. Hasnu wished he could be the king. He wished he could be the sun. He wished he could be the clouds. He wished he could be all these things. And finally he realized that all he needed to be was a stone cutter. And he became content. Folks, what am I saying? I'm saying that you and I need to learn Christian contentment. And of all the people on planet Earth, the Christian is the one that can be truly content because we have Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning that Christian contentment does not come from circumstances. Christian contentment only comes from the presence of Jesus Christ. And Lord, the more we sit at your feet, the more we learn of thee, the more we sit and worship the King, the more content we shall be in our Christian life. Oh Lord, it all comes down to one thing and one thing only, Jesus Christ. Paul said in verse 13, "I can do all things, including being content through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Lord, thank you that your strength knows no bounds. Your strength knows no limits. And your strength, Lord Jesus, is what makes us content. Because we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. We love you today, Lord, and we pray that this message would make an impact upon the world. Oh God, that many, many believers around the world would hear this message and learn to be content like Hasnu. Content in their station in life whereunto you've called them. Content in the presence of Jesus Christ. Content alone with the salvation that you've provided. Not seeking the things of this world for their contentment, but only seeking the face of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Folks, let's grab our hymnals. We'll stand. And let's open up to hymn number, let's open up to hymn number 198. Here's a good one. Hymn number 198 for our time of invitation. Maybe you haven't been as content as you need to be and you want to hit the altar. The altar will be open during this time of singing. And 198, we'll sing all four. If we had 1,000 tongues to sing the Redeemer's love, it wouldn't be enough. Yes, 198.
Tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my gallant King, the hot triumph of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth the honors of Thy name. Jesus, the name that calms my fears, that bids my sorrow cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, it is life and health and peace. He breaks the power, He sets the prisoners free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me.
Woo-hoo! Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, indeed, folks are at the altar praying at the time of invitation. And Father, how we thank You this morning for touching hearts. Lord, how we thank You for speaking, Holy Spirit, through Your Word. And Lord, how we thank You for bringing us to that point where we desire true Christian contentment, as the great Apostle Paul found in his life. Despite the trials, despite the afflictions, despite all of the heartaches and painfulness of his life, he found his contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness of God, the righteousness which is by faith. How we thank You, Lord. How we thank You for the contentment of the soul that You give, the joy, the peace, the happiness that comes from Your divine presence, Lord. You're the only one, Lord Jesus, in all the universe that can bestow this kind of contentment. There is none else, only Jesus. And Lord, help us. My prayer in closing is help us, each and every one, to find our all in all through Jesus Christ alone, that we would seek Your holy face and find that satisfaction of heart, soul, and mind. In Jesus' name we pray. The people said, amen.
Amen. Tonight at 6, if you can, beloved.